Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with the Reality Rewind here on RHA. That's not the name of the show. That's not the name of the show. Let's take that again.
Is that not the name of the show?
It's RHAP Rewind. I think that is actually a that Johnny Fairplay has a show called they started a Reality Rewind, which then now has incepted me. I'm like, don't we already have a show that's the same name? And I got incepted. Okay.
All welcome, right. $75 patrons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I had to be quiet because I was going to say something in front of the patrons and I didn't want them to judge me.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob, take three. Take three.
Johnny Fairplay here with the Reality TV Rewind.
Yes. I don't think he's on it.
Okay. So it is Chappelle and I. We do cause so much controversy every time we're together. Got it.
Chaos. I love it.
Take my jacket off, maybe.
Whoa, yes.
Okay.
You need Stevie's, like, that little cutout that he had on.
That'd be perfect. All right. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here for the RHAP Rewind this week. Today, we are talking about Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, Season 1, Episode 4. Very excited to get into some new ground for me. And back with me on the RHAP Rewind, it is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm fine. I'm not great. But I'm fine. I think I'm going to be better once we get to talking about this show, though.
Yes. Well, this is a wild show. It's a wild show. Was not super on my radar. We're talking about an episode from season one of this show. And the woman who has brought this show to us is here. Please welcome the great Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
So excited to be here. I actually can't believe this is happening because I think I talked about this in my class of 2020 interview, and here we are almost a year later podcasting about it.
Yes, just, I know. You have been talking about it for a while. Whenever I say, oh, Sasha, what else are you watching? And you mentioned Love and Hip Hop, which we're going to talk about here today. I also want to highlight another podcast you did this week with Kevin McClain. Highlighting some of the issues around Asian American representation on reality shows, which people should definitely check out on robisawebsite.com. Can you give us a little bit more info on what you guys talked about on the podcast?
Yeah, Kevin and I basically realized neither of us obviously were on a reality TV show, but understand that there's this space or vacuum talking about Asian representation in reality TV, where we usually do get represented, but they're very basic, very stereotypical. And even if we do get represented, so we just decided to have a conversation about it and talk about stereotypes, talk about our favorite shows and our favorite characters. So for sure, check it out.
All right. Well, this week we're talking about the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta here. Of course, last week we talked about Pimp My Ride. Chappelle, I really enjoyed our Pimp My Ride conversation.
Yeah, it was a nice trip down memory lane for your boy. I was so happy to discuss this show that I just felt like it was just a part of me. Like, I don't even remember. It's almost like I don't remember watching it. I just was kind of born with the my ride knowledge because it's always been around. It was always on TV. It was always something to talk about. It's just in the atmosphere. And so I feel like this might be the same way Sasha feels about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Is that true, Sasha? You were born with it?
Yeah, 100%. This is it for me. Like, I feel like, no, I didn't even know other people in the world watch this show. And then I went on a date with this man who I now married. And he was like, I watched the show Love and Hip Hop. Have you ever heard of it? So to me, it's just this show has just, you know, been this like moment. Like, it's the moment for me.
Mm-hmm. So can we get into the origin stories about Love and Hip Hop a little bit? There's a Love and Hip Hop New York. And then
that's the original.
That's the original. So could you give us the history lesson real quick on Love and Hip Hop, or at least give me the history lesson?
Yeah. So Love and Hip Hop in general, there's now four franchises. So New York, Atlanta, Hollywood, and Miami. So it started, I think, in 2011, I want to say. Yes. And it's almost like a docu-soap is what they like to call it, where it's a little bit of soap opera, but a little bit of documentary, a lot of production involved that, you know, revolves around, yeah, the everyday lives of actually women and men in hip hop. And the first seasons actually focus mostly on the women and their professional struggles of trying to become rappers or, you know, just trying to make it in the music industry. And then, and most of them also happen to be like famous girlfriends or baby mamas or, you know, wives, whatever. That's the love part of Love and Hip Hop.
Makes sense. How much of the show is real? Right before we were coming on, Chappelle was talking about The Hills a little bit. And I think there's some question about, like, you know, how much of that is like professional wrestling. Like, this show, there's a lot going on here. Is this stuff really happening?
As someone that's watched it for so long, I think the first almost like seasons are a little bit more off the cuff. Like, it's definitely more real, I think, than like they're hamming it up now, where I feel like it's very much produced
now?
Or a little bit of, yeah. Well, we're 9 seasons in, you know? And for Atlanta, at least. And yeah, so I think that, we'll get into it, I'm sure, but this fight was not produced, but it's very much like they get a lot of alcohol in them. And then they're like, I actually know where Stevie J is recording. Do you want to go? So it's that kind of production interference, if that makes sense, where it's a little bit like I'm egg you on. And then thankfully we have such a great cast that's all they need is a little push.
We're gonna see this as a pattern in our reality TV like trip down memory lane, is that we always get these reality shows that the first season or second season, it's very pure. They're here to show us the lives of, you know, 8 strangers living in an apartment, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we're going to see what happens when real people start all that good stuff. It's always the first season. Big Brother 1, Survivor 1. Like, it's always so
pure. See what happens when we do this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 9 seasons in, you know, it's a hot mess, you know, and for Survivor, maybe not even 9 seasons in very quickly. You know, that's what it was. Even in Pimp My Ride, by season 5, we had, you know, all the characters, all the gimmicks, and you know, it lost the essence of what the show was, because once you find out something works, you just like beat it into the ground.
That's right. Okay. So Love and Hip Hop, New York was the hit, and then was there anybody that came over from the original franchise to start Atlanta?
No. So that's what's really cool, is like they all are standalone. Eventually there's crossover, like Kay Michelle, who we saw in the first half. She actually leaves Atlanta to go to New York. And then Nicki Minaj's ex-boyfriend Safari also hops around in a few different, like, I think he starts in Hollywood and
crossover.
Then ends up. Yeah. And then I think ends up actually he's like a great character. People like to kind of make fun of him. So he ends up in actually all 4 cities doing, stirring the pot, basically.
Chappelle, what's your familiarity with Love and Hip Hop?
So this isn't necessarily my type of reality show. So I like drama, but I also like to see the people in the drama, like trying to come together and create like a cause, you know? So like if it's, you know, Survivor, they're trying to vote each other out to see who wins. If it's like Pimp My Ride, there's always an action, you know, that they're trying to get to. So I like drama as much as the next person. I watch The Real World, but you know, the goal is to see if these people can cohabitate and then it ends. Shows that don't end really frustrate me. Because I'm always waiting on like, okay, so when do we get to the big finish? And shows like Love and Hip Hop or The Basketball Wives and things of that nature, they just kind of follow these people around as they're just being people. And then they push them to being like caricatures of people. So it's not my favorite style of reality show. However, I did watch Love and Hip Hop season 1 and 2 for Atlanta. I did not watch New York at all. So I have no insight into that season or that series at all. But Love and Hip Hop Atlanta season 1 and 2, I was there like everybody else. I was live tweeting it. I have opinions. I have quotes. I have parody YouTube videos I used to watch. Oh, all the things. These are my people. I love to watch this. I'm so happy Sasha brought it up.
So, Sasha, the women that are on the show, are they all real life friends, or are they just sort of like brought, like, is it like a Real Housewives, but they're just sort of like brought together for the show?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I was doing a little bit of research. So the executive producer, Mona Scott, is Missy Elliott's manager.
Okay.
So she already has a lot of pull in the industry. So they were going to have actually different people for Atlanta. It wasn't going to be this cast. It was going to be people that knew each other a little bit better. But these people, they actually don't know each other, or at least not well. But they're connected by Stevie. They're connected by Rashida. I think those are kind of the big two. Fun fact, Jocelyn actually used to dance for Scrappy. And we find that out in the reunion for this season 1. So they're all like connected because they're all part of the Atlanta entertainment scene, but not as much as we'd like them to be, at least.
Okay. If people want to watch this episode, they can watch this either on Hulu or Paramount Plus. It is season 1, episode 4. We just watched it live here on the RHAP Discord here on Thursday afternoon. And boy, this was a ride.
Yes. This is ratchet television, and I love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love it when there's when there has an end date. That's what I like. I like to see these people all have their fallouts and they come together. We disagree and then we move on with our lives. But 9 seasons of this is just a lot. However, this episode, so good. So good. This first season of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, I mean, episode after episode is just so, so, so good. The people in Atlanta is like this huge city, but for the Black people there that work in entertainment, it's kind of almost like a network. So like Sasha was saying, they all kind of move in similar circles, even though they might not be good friends. Mona Scott, who produced the show, was Missy Elliott's producer for a television show that she did also that I considered talking about on the Reality TV Rewind, Missy Elliott's Road to Stardom. And so she gets those connections and they're all connected and we see them come together and the most ridiculous fights, and that will happen on this episode for sure.
So, Sasha, is this a particularly iconic episode? Is this a famous episode of the show, or is this just a personal favorite of yours?
You know, that's what. So, I asked my friends that watch the show, right? Like, hey, I have one episode to pitch. What are we pitching? And this came up because, of this fight, because. Again, usually it's the women fighting and they're a little catty, they're annoying, you know, whatever. But to me, I really like this because it was Scrappy and Stevie J, the two male leads basically of the show fighting. So, and it was an episode that actually featured most of at least my personal faves, right? Like it had everyone and everyone had kind of an iconic line. So it is not the most watched episode. Fun fact, Mimi's sex tape gets released season 3. That is the most watched episode.
Released by whom?
By Mimi. Spoiler alert.
She dropped it. Yeah.
Her and her Stevie J lookalike boyfriend actually dropped the sex tape.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the cost of shower rods rose to the highest amounts of all time. You know, stock for shower rods was like at an all time high.
Because of the global supply chain issues?
Obviously.
Yes. 100%. So this one was really popular. So I was really choosing between this episode and actually but towards the latter part of the series where they go through, where Stevie, Mimi, and Jocelyn go to therapy together.
Yeah.
Yes, together, where Stevie and Mimi are trying to work on their own relationship. But actually, Jocelyn comes to therapy and it's a 3-way therapy session. And Jocelyn beats the living life out of Stevie.
Therapy?
Yes. Front of Stevie wears a shirt that says God or I am God on it. Mm-hmm. And that really does not work for Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have some other iconic episodes in mind too. Season 2, episode 1 is where we get the iconic line, "Hey maid, I see you wearing your maid outfit like you always do." It is
Molly
my favorite
the maid.
Line.
Yes.
It is my favorite line of television. Jocelyn walks into Mimi's home where Stevie is standing there talking to her, and she introduces herself by saying, "Hey maid," to Mimi, who lives there. And Stevie does nothing to defend his baby mother, and the fight ensues from there. And so that is one of my favorite lines, mm-hmm. and it's iconic, and Jocelyn is iconic because of it.
Yeah. His girlfriend walks into the house with the mother of his children
and tells them they're not dating.
It's professional.
Professional, you guys.
Yes.
No, okay. it's absolutely not.
It's unprofessional. It's quite unprofessional.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't call your producer daddy? No? Okay.
Yeah. I personally don't.
So before we talk about what happens in the episode, that maybe we could do like a little bit of like a primer on sort of like the stars of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta season 1. Does the cast also circulate quite a bit, or do these people basically stay with the show over the run of the series?
Yes. For season 1, this is our cast. Actually, for most of season 2, this is our cast. And even now, we're in season 9, and a lot of these people are still around. So they're here to stay, for sure. So we can go through this cast.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, let's talk about the stars. We don't need to get into everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hold on. Everybody in this show is a star. Okay,
they're all stars. But who are like the power players?
When the camera turns on, they turn it on, okay? Yeah. So, yeah, we have to give them their credit.
No doubt.
Yeah. We can start with, I think, probably the most talked about, Jocelyn Hernandez, baby, the Puerto Rican princess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She introduces herself on episode 1 of the series and says, "I'm a rapper, actor, model, and the Puerto Rican princess." And to that point, no one had ever seen her do any of the things that she was talking about. Jocelyn was a recent... former employee of a strip club, and she was very prominent in that scene. And so now she was trying to break into the music industry and, you know, kind of find her own way outside of the club. That becomes her running storyline, is that she does not want to go back to the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Rob had that to like pull. "I don't want to go back to a strip club, Stevie. I don't want to go back.
Now, we saw her dancing in this episode. Does she also sing?
Yes, she's trying to be the next Latin pop star.
Okay.
That is her, like, shtick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that has not happened yet.
It has not happened yet in 9 seasons. Yes.
In 9 years. Never say never.
No.
Yeah.
She has her own show on Zeus Network now called Jocelyn's Cabaret, where she teaches younger women how to become...
bosses.
Dancers, yes. Bosses, okay. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
Chappelle, that for the rewind, also, did you know that Jocelyn filmed a failed television pilot for Showtime centered around a group of strippers working at the Diamond Cabaret in Miami?
Is this the show that ends up getting picked up? The one I was talking about? Because it sounds like what we
from
her. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how long ago it was, but if you want to rewind a couple like a year or two ago, we can do it. Let's do it. I don't care.
Can I come back for that one?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I didn't realize that Jocelyn was the star of the show.
She can't.
Sure.
Yeah.
My personal favorite is for sure Scrappy. Obviously, mm-hmm. Like I love Scrappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we move on to Scrappy, though, I do have to point out, you know, we talked about Jocelyn not, you know, she has not yet fulfilled the role of Puerto Rican princess in the music industry that she would like to, but kind of because she was kind of undercut by the Cardi B, a star of Love and Hip Hop, New York.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Cardi B started off on Love and Hip Hop New York before she rose to fame as the Cardi B that we know her today.
Yes.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun fact, they would not want to work. They didn't want to work with her on Love and Hip Hop New York. Like, that is her story, that all those like DJs are like, "We don't think you're going to be it. Sorry, you're going to be one of these, you know, women that just are on the show or famous on Instagram."
Yeah, they have the footage now.
And she showed them, got a bag and fixed her teeth. She did the things.
Yeah, still got a check from Mona Scott.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so tell me about Scrappy.
Oh, yes, the Prince of the South. I love Scrappy. Like, first of all, there's all the bias here. Okay, I want to make that clear. But anyway, Scrappy's also a rapper. So Scrappy's storyline, also, they talk about this in episode one, but he actually is a rapper, up and coming. I don't know, Chappelle, how you'd like classify him.
No, I think at this point in Scrappy's career, he had already made it. So Scrappy was kind of trying to maintain the lightning in the bottle he had found in like the 2000s, because this is 2012. Mm-hmm. So he'd actually come off his started falling a little bit. And so this might have been Scrappy's like grab for trying to get his music out some more and get more publicity to keep doing his thing. But Lil Scrappy was very popular when I was in high school. I remember the song Money in the Bank. Shorty, what you drank? You
know? And Nuck if you buck, he's the
buck. Yes, yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot of references to that. We'll get to that eventually. But yeah, Lil Scrappy is a rapper, and I think by this time he was a little bit more seasoned, but he was still trying to stay relevant. You know, when it comes to like producing new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Lil Scrappy, yeah, and his actually ex-love interest was going to be on the show Diamond. This is kind of his premise is that he was with his baby mother, Erica, and then he ended up kind of leaving her it just didn't end up working out. And he ended up falling in love with Diamond, who is part of, again, another group called Crime Mob. And then anyway, Diamond ends up doing to Scrappy what Scrappy did to Erica. She dumped him and started dating Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy from Cribs.
Yes. Soulja Boy, tell him.
Yes. So that is kind of Scrappy and Erica's whole thing is that they're trying to either, you know, start over and kind of get back to a place they were. They have a child together. So, and Scrappy has an amazing, perfect mom called Mama D, who... So every love in hip hop has kind of these stock figures, right? There's a really together, beautiful couple. There's a mom. There's a famous rapper that's trying to get back. And then there is a baby mom and someone trying to someone being dirty and cheating. That's kind of like the love in hip hop formula, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Tale as old as time.
Yes, yes. Remy Ma is and Papoose are the ones in New York now. So pretty big gets. Yeah. Anyway, so Scrappy's mom used to be a pimp, actually. So she's very hardcore, very here's how things need to be. And Scrappy's dad, fun fact, is a priest or a preacher. So that is, yes, this is why we love Scrappy. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I got a cameo from Scrappy, y'all. It was the funniest thing I've seen.
What did he say?
So it was wishing my husband a happy birthday, because again, we both love Scrappy. And he couldn't say my husband's name, Karthik. So he was like, I'm gonna call you Kart. Happy G-Day, man. So, and he just kept repeating that over and over again. So we love Scrappy, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway. That is next. And then do we want... Yeah, Stevie G and Mimi, I think, are the...
Let me just ask a question about Scrappy. Chappelle, is he the protagonist of the series?
I don't think so. So this... Sasha was saying that, you know, there's a formula that each of the Love and Hip Hops has, but this series, Atlanta, is kind of missing the protagonist. All these people are villains in their own right. And even the ones that don't start off as villains, they end up like that. So you have some people who will appear in this episode, Benzino, we'll see him later on, who seems like a normal human being. We quickly find he is not.
Same
thing with Mimi in the first episode. You think Mimi is pretty much on the level. And then you see, Mimi is a little off too. So I don't know if there's a protagonist, but Scrappy's a likable guy. And next to some of the other men, he looks like a hero.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking through the cast list, and they really tried to make Rashida, who we see for a little bit, her and her husband, kind of the protagonist. But Kirk is
he's the worst. He's worse than all of them. He is the worst.
Yes.
He's the worst.
The worst.
Why?
The worst.
he. Ooh.
Was he in this episode? Again,
Yeah, he was for like a quick, they had the dinner together where, they did the romantic dinner.
The
manager.
She was going to make him dinner and then dessert.
Special
and dessert.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Kirk has a whole baby on her. Has a whole nother child.
You said he has a whole other baby on her. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, while they're together, he has an outside child.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's frowned upon.
Yeah, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, ask Nicole how she would feel if you decided to have an outside child.
You know what Nicole would do? What Rashida's mom did? Run over your bike with her car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that is what Rashida's mom did. Took his motorbike and ran over it with her car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and Kirk was also cheating with a woman named Bambi.
Oh.
Who is now Scrappy's wife and has two children with Scrappy.
So Kirk cheated on his wife with a woman named Bambi, who's now married to Scrap.
No. Kirk was cheating on his wife with anybody who would cheat with him.
Yes.
And then he ended up having a relationship with Bambi. And then Bambi ended up having a relationship with Scrappy. That's what happened.
Okay.
Yes.
So it seems like in this like a little fishbowl, which is Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, it does feel like I don't want to like imply that there's actual incest going on, but it seems like it's very like incestuous in terms of like the people who are on the reality show. There's a lot of like intermingling between the other people who are on the reality show. Which is odd because that they seem to have no previous relationships and now they're just suddenly on the reality show. And then there's a lot of like relationships now.
Yeah. Our friend Benzino, No Neck Benzino, is 100% that person that is always in the mix. And then he actually gets substituted eventually for Young Jock, who shows up, I think, season 2 or 3.
Young Jock is the person's name.
Yes.
Oh, are you not familiar with Young Jock?
No. Is that like J-O-C-K or J-A-C-Q-E-U-S?
No. He's also on Love and Hip Hop New York. That was the one that spells it that way.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. No. Young Jock, J-O-C, is a rapper as well. He's
famous.
Meet me at the club. It's going down.
Sure.
Meet me at the bar. It's going down. You know. Don't have me in here rapping. It's not for me.
Anyway, you meet me.
Yeah, it's guaranteed to go down.
That's Stevie and Scrappy, actually. That's their motto, as you can tell.
Okay.
Going down.
All right, well, let's talk about Stevie then. If Lil Scrappy is not the protagonist of the series, Stevie J clearly is the antagonist of the series, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a one thing you can root for Stevie J about at any point in this entire series, to my knowledge. Whereas there are moments where you think Scrappy's kind of likable. There are moments where Benzino seems like he knows what he's talking about. There are moments when Jocelyn seems like, oh, well, you know, she's pretty young. And this is a lot
thrown in front of
her. You're rooting for her to win. Right. I just think it's impossible to root for Stevie J at any point in this series. Sasha, could you correct me if I'm wrong?
No, he a ratchet mess. Like, this man calls himself... No, like, he calls himself the good guy. No, absolutely the hell not. You know, like, he literally, every gif, if you put Stevie, right? Chappelle was putting it in the Discord chat a lot. But that rat face that he does. And then, for everyone listening, Chappelle's doing it right now. So, but yeah, Stevie sucks. Like, literally sucks. And he gives zero Fs that, like, he just thinks he's the good guy. He's like, I'm the, you know, godfather. People come around me. Like, I'm it. And he was actually it in the 90s. He's like a couple of Grammys. So he's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask.
DJ, he's the most successful person on the cast by far.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that he is at least earned this prominent place in the Atlanta hip hop community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He was like with P. Diddy on their ending on Bad Boy Records and all of this stuff. So yeah, like Stevie J is like a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a relationship with Faith Evans.
He's married to her.
Yeah, currently married to Faith Evans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's Smalls' ex. He did some songs with Lil' Kim. Some songs with SWV featuring Taj from Survivor Token Team. Still to come up on the countdown. Mm-hmm. You know, so he made a name for himself in the 90s. And I mean, really made a name for himself. So I was actually pretty surprised to see him popping up in 2012 on this television show. I figured he'd be better than that, actually.
Yeah.
No, thank you for Stevie for being here and blessing yes. us.
So then appearing on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and not getting such a great edit and having like all of his business out there, is this a boon to his career or is this something that holds him back now?
I don't think it hurts his career. So, like I said, in the 90s, he was a big deal. And I mean, a massive deal. Like from 95 to 2005, 2006, he was everywhere. So he didn't really, in my opinion, he really didn't need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so this is publicity for someone who really wasn't having a lot of publicity. He wasn't a household name. He very much is a household name. He's a GIF everywhere. He's got like a ton of fame that, as a producer, he probably didn't have in the 90s. Like I said, he was super successful, but fame isn't something you normally give to producers unless they're like P. Diddy dancing in the videos.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like a behind the scenes job. And so this gave him a chance to be thrust in front of the camera.
Yeah, okay. He was behind the scene with Jodeci, like actually playing in the background. So he really was behind the scenes. So yeah, agreed.
Okay. Then what about some of the women?
Okay. Well, we talked about the woman, the Puerto Rican princess. I mean, just perfect. I mean, perfect television. We talked about Mama D, also perfect television. That is Lil Scrappy's mom. She's if he's the prince of the South, she is definitely the queen of the castle.
Has Mama D ever recorded?
Yes. She has a song called In That Order.
And I deserve.
Mama D definitely made the clout into the coin for sure. Mm-hmm. Like In That Order, she spelled, I think, what was it? Oh, I can't remember, but she spelled something wrong. And then she says, and in that order, but it was misspelled. Hmm. I think it was the B word. And she put
she's a B-I-C-T-H. In that order,
it misspelled. So B-I-T-C. B-I-C-T-H.
I did it right, Sasha. You did.
I'm sorry.
Sasha was like, just wants to say the B word.
No, I absolutely not. Nah. Oh.
She said she's a big sister.
Yes.
And in that order.
That's how you get around like making podcasts explicit. You just misspell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then if people are searching, then they can't find it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. what about Mimi, who we're going to talk about in this episode?
Let me start with Mimi,
please.
Sasha, if you will. Mimi starts off this series as, I think she was originally supposed to be the protagonist. I really do, because she has the antagonist as her number one. Like, you know, she's in tandem with Stevie J. So you would think she was the protagonist. However, Mimi doesn't take having an antagonist as the star of the show very well. And she starts off in a very like, hey, Stevie J and I have a child together. We're trying to work things out. Stevie J on the first episode goes to her and says, hey, I'm getting you a house for you and my daughter because I want y'all to be out here in the countryside while I live in inner city Atlanta and do all the fun things I want to do with my life. Yeah. And she sees right through it. But Stevie J, Lil Scrappy, and Kurt, the thing these men all have in common is that they have these women in like some type of mystical hold, that these women are watching these men cheat on them over and over and over again. And it's very obvious and everyone's telling them that, but they just can't leave because they're so much in love. And that's the story of Mimi. Stevie has the most boisterous, loud side piece in Jocelyn, who is calling herself the queen, who is trying to call the shots, who is never out of the frame. When you see Stevie, Jocelyn's not far behind. And Mimi has to pretend in her mind that Jocelyn is not sleeping with her husband. And it's very much not the case. She very much is. And Mimi is just trying to navigate those feelings with a man like Stevie J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a wild concept to me, Sasha, because it's one thing to be having an affair. It's quite another, I feel like, though, to be having this affair on reality television, documenting it. Yeah. It's brazen.
Yeah, zero F's like given. And again, and Mimi, this is where, I agree, Chappelle. I think because Diamond was supposed to be like the protagonist, but she ended up dropping out apparently weeks before filming. So there was supposed to be this like female, strong female moment or woman like there, but Mimi is just not, to me, she's unlikable because she puts up with this mess. Like she will be to us, to a confessional, she actually loves to talk big and bad. And she's like, oh, you know, like cursing up a storm. She's like, F this guy, who does he think he is? And then bam, in real life, you see her and her friends, Arian, they go and she's like, leave this man, just leave him. And she won't leave him. And she's like, you know, oh, I'm only with him for my daughter, blah, blah, blah. But then she agrees to go into therapy with him and Jocelyn. So that's everything you need to know about how she actually feels about Stevie.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. The complicated relationships.
Yeah, I think that Sasha hit the nail on the head. That's why Mimi's not likable, because she'll look at the confessional and be like, I can't believe Jocelyn came in my house and called me a maid. And you just, and Stevie just stood there and I'm not going to take this. And then you'll see her take it. And then next thing you know, she's yelling at Stevie like, how dare you let Jocelyn come in my house and call me a maid? No, you let Jocelyn come in your house and call you a maid. You didn't say anything. And now you're trying to act like you're all like upset. It's kind of, it feels forced a lot of times with Mimi. Like, it's like, if you were this mad, why aren't you always that mad? Because nothing has changed. He's still the same guy. But, you know, whatever. That's TV.
And I think the other principle that I think we need to just set up here is Erica.
Oh, baby mama. Yes.
Baby mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is Scrappy's baby mom. But also, she is his, like, girlfriend in the currently.
That's from romantic.
From what we know. Yeah. And, you know, their whole issue is that
relationship
Scrappy,
goals, I think.
Not goals.
And the police. This man rubbing sunscreen on another woman's body. Like, no.
Yeah.
But
as but friends, yeah, though.
As friends. My best friend. What's that song? Say he's just... Anyway. Yeah. So, Scrappy and Erica are really trying to make it work. But this is why I love Scrappy. He was like, I just want to be with someone that shows me love. Like, his love language is touch and words of like affirmation. Yeah. So
you get more than one?
Scrappy gets it all, okay?
Wow.
Please. So Erica actually is like not like outwardly loving. And that's kind of a lot of the reasons why he feels that she's not trying. So they were living together at the start, at episode one. By episode three, he was moving out because he was like, let's work on this relationship by me moving out.
Yeah.
And he actually was just trying to end things with her, but didn't know
she didn't
how
take the
to
hint.
Say
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah. And she, that's why we see her talking about like, oh, this, like, we're going to get engaged. Like, we're getting married. There's a ring at the end of this.
Oh.
And for him, he's telling mom that, you know, he's telling mom, I'm ready to like have women running around naked in this kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this relationship.
Yeah. And that's why we have Mama D here. Mama D is supposed to protect Scrappy's interests because she saw how broken up he was when Diamond destroyed him by leaving him for Soulja Boy. And so she's just here to make sure that the kingdom stays intact. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Does Mama D really look into what's going on with Scrappy in his romantic life, or is she also involved in his business affairs?
Everything. So everything. He actually, yeah. So again, I think this happens in episode three. Yeah. He actually, asked her to hire movers for him to get his stuff from Erica's house. So he does not do any of this. Very much prince-like, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Prince of the South.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's talk about this episode that we watched, season one, episode four. Now that we know all of the players involved, we've read the whole playbill, we're ready to go to talk about this episode.
Almost, Rob. We talked about this person just a tad, but we have to point out one of the future stars of the reality TV Rewind, Bucky Shay Johnson. Bucky makes her first appearance in Love and Hip Hop, and I believe she has a good little run. Sasha, I don't think she's on there anymore, but
she's on Love and Hip Hop Miami now.
Yeah, so Bucky is one of the ones who gets her. She starts on the Flavor of Love season two and then goes on to VH1's Charm School, and now here she is as Lil Scrappy's best friend, with benefits.
His entanglement.
Yes, his entanglement. And then she goes on to have her own good little run here on Love and Hip Hop in two different iterations.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
But she did not have it work out with Flavor Flav.
She did not win. Not to spoil season two for y'all, but he picked Delicious. I don't think Bucky was in the top. I think she might have made the like top six or something. So she made a good run, but she did not, you know, get selected.
Okay.
Yeah, you like remember her, but not because she won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more memorable here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can we set up? So there's a lot in the that happened in the previous episode that I was still like learning who all the players were at the start of this. But Sasha, could you set up? What happened with the pregnancy test in the previous episode?
Yes. So
it's about to get messy. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's buckle up, people. All right. Episode Bucky one and up. Two. Not this. Episode one and two, we get, you know, we're like, no, Stevie and I are just close. We are not sleeping together. And Mimi actually gets called out at a party and he was like, no, that's Jocelyn's man. And Mimi says, no, that's my man. Like, Jocelyn is his artist. Okay. Episode three, all of a sudden, Jocelyn's pregnant. And Stevie says, whose baby is it?
Boom.
Yes.
I mean, you could see her soul kind of break in half as this man that she's been faithful to in business and in pleasure, like, looking at her like, so who you been sleeping with? Sir, you, it's always been you. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? But CVJ is not the type of person to just own up to that.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying that there, no, that wasn't me.
Nope. He said, we haven't been sleeping together that long. That maybe a week ago. And she said, we've been sleeping together for 6 months. And he said, no, maybe a week ago. It's a really funny interaction, actually.
Yeah.
But Jocelyn is a ride or die. And Stevie just like kills her. Like, it's just awful.
Is it possible that he is not trying to get himself entrapped here where that does he like trying to like he knows this is going to be on television and is like no, that was not 6 months ago.
He might have cared, right? Mm-hmm. So there are things that, you know, they film these confessionals after the episodes and stuff a lot of times, so there are things that he knows are on camera that he kind of tries to like tiptoe around a bit.
Doesn't want to incriminate himself.
Yes. Right, but that's just because this is the early stages. Mm-hmm. By the time we hit season two, Kurt's doing things in the hot tub.
With
Bobby Valentino. And they're just doing things like because now they know it's all out there and we can own up to it. So I do think that part of this was like, you didn't actually see me do it. You didn't see me like, oh yeah, we just started sleeping together. Cause I, you know, so he could kind of cover his tracks a bit. I do think you're right, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's no fool.
No. And what's really funny is that it goes like 180 real quick because it goes from denying to carrying her pregnancy test in his pocket.
And why does he do that?
Stevie J. That's why. Like,
that's what he does.
We have no idea to this day why he carried it, but he did. And it's a very iconic, again, moment where Mimi and Jocelyn meet up actually last episode and they were, you know, Jocelyn's like, listen, I'm pregnant. Like, you know, I want you to know, like, we are, you know, being screwed by this guy. He's telling us both wrong things. Let's try to get on the same page. Mimi's not having it. Mimi said, call him because I want to hear it from him. Stevie's like, Jocelyn, you and I were supposed to talk about this. Why are you bringing Mimi in? Mimi gets up and leaves. Stevie does not chase. Stevie pulls out the pregnancy test for Mimi to look at. And then Mimi leaves and he just keeps talking to Jocelyn and just lets Mimi leave. And she's still talking to him and still entertaining him.
But why, Chappelle? This is my big question. I just still don't understand why did he show his I don't know how to describe Mimi to Stevie. Is it his wife?
Baby mama.
His girlfriend.
His girlfriend. But baby mama works too. It's because it's Stevie J. He's very showy. He's very much, he is the king of Atlanta from his perspective, right? And so he can do no wrong. There are things that only he can get away with. And to his credit, it's kind of working. Like, he does pull this pregnancy test out of his pocket. And then we see 2 seasons from now, they're going to be at group therapy together with his ex and his like side piece. Like, so, I mean, it doesn't work against him, but I think it might have been for TV. This might have been one of those, like, okay, this would be a good TV moment. Why don't you just go where the pregnant mom is? Because she's going to find out anyway. I wouldn't be shocked that the producers kind of pushed him into that.
Yeah, want to know a TV moment? He actually proposes to the both of them in a later season.
At the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. And is it like whoever takes it first, or is it a polyamorous relationship?
So Mimi shows up first and thinks it's for her, and then Jocelyn walks up after. Mm-hmm.
And poor Jocelyn, she shows up like what you would think a side piece would show up with as they're getting like proposed to. So she shows up like, oh my God, it's finally happening. I've been doing it. This has been 3 seasons. I love this man. I want to be with him the rest of my life. Why is Mimi here? Mm-hmm. It's so bad.
He has 2 rings, I believe, on the piano. So.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very much like a Tyra Banks moment of like, I have 2 rings in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Like whoever gets it first.
Yeah, well, only one of you are still going to be in the running. I think he was, I honestly think he was hoping that both of them would just say yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. He wants to be in a polyamorous relationship. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's important to note that Stevie J was, what, 40 when this was on television, and Jocelyn might have been 25.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a big age difference and probably a power dynamic amongst these women as well when it comes to people like Stevie J.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a little bit of a May-September relationship.
If you will.
Yeah, if you will. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed is interesting is the backgrounds on this show are pretty wild. And I've noticed that it's like a moving background behind them. Like, a lot of jump cuts in the confessionals.
I think there's a lot of cursing and a lot of things they probably can't use, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest. Yeah. Yeah, because Benzino, unfortunately, gets kicked off the show in season 3 because of death threats. So I'm a really...
That he was receiving?
He was sending to Stevie J and to Stevie J and Jocelyn.
Rob, are you familiar with Benzino?
No, monogamous. I am not.
Monogamous. Yeah, the one. Yeah, monogamous. Say it after me, Rob. Monogamy.
Yeah, Benzino is most known for his beef that he had with Eminem. Yes. Currently, his daughter, Coi Leray, has songs on the radio. You would call her Big Purr, some would say. So Benzino is a musical artist in his own right as well.
Okay.
And he founded Hip Hop Weekly, which is a really, not anymore, but at that point, I think was a pretty influential magazine.
That's great.
Okay, good for Benzino. All right. We saw Mama D pay a visit to Scrappy's house in this episode.
It's because Scrappy can't do anything without Mama D popping up, right? And her thing is that she just has to make sure that, like, you've moved out of Erica. Now, I got your furniture in here. Like, what else do you need? Like, she's very much like, hey, I have to make sure the prince is taken care of so he can continue to build our kingdom because she's the queen. She is the Cersei Lannister of this entire series, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what she does. And honestly, she doesn't love Erica. No. We're going to find that out very quickly, is that she thinks they're like, okay, you're not showing Scrappy enough affection. That's good enough for me to say that you don't need to be around. Because mm-hmm. There are women that are falling all over themselves to be with little Scrappy. And I will find those women, but you will not be that woman because you just don't do it for me. Like, mm-hmm. they have a couple arguments throughout the series where, like, Erica's trying to tell her, like, I love him. I want to marry him. And Mama D's like, no. You know, like, sorry, can't allow that. So this was just another moment of Mama D showing up to just be like, you know, Scrappy, you could do better, or at least different. How's Shay? Where's Bucky? Have you talked to her? You know, so that's why she is in the picture in this moment.
Yep. Mom and daughter-in-law relationships are complicated enough. I could only imagine mother-baby mama relationships.
Yes. Strange. And she has a lot of expectations for the person that is with her child.
The Prince of the South.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It seems like that she's ready to fix up Lil Scrappy with a new person.
Yeah, our good old Bucky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's wild because it's like you have such high standards for these women, and I guess one of the criteria is have you dated Flavor Flav on a reality show before?
Yeah,
like if the answer is yes, then you might have just gotten through to the next round, and who wants to be the next Scrappy? But yeah, Mama D is very much protective over her son and her brand. Well, his brand. And yeah, she knows that Erica also kind of boring. So it wouldn't be horrible to bring in somebody else who, you know, knows how to work a reality TV camera, you know? So I think that might be a little bit part of what she's doing as well.
Yeah. Sasha, this seemed very contrived of that all of a sudden Scrappy has Shay, who happens to be his best friend of 5 or 6 years, and that this friendship is ready to go to the next level.
Yeah, so at first I agree with you, but then it's actually still a weird back and forth that's going on all these years later. Like, and again, it could be just for her storyline in Miami. But yeah, he like goes to Miami and does a little Love and Hip Hop Miami crossover where she is like, hey, you're in Miami. Are you here to see me? Are we going to be together? I don't know, 9 years later. So I just can't help but really like Shay. And I think she really gets screwed over by guys on Love and Hip Hop. Oh.
But that's disappointing then.
Mm-hmm. I guess this moment was not only Mama D telling Scrappy, you know, like, hey, you could do better, but this was also Scrappy recapping what happened between him and Stevie J, or what's going to happen between him and Stevie J due to the interaction Stevie J had with his baby mama, Erica. Sasha, I don't remember how they got into that argument. Yeah. Erica and Stevie J, do you recall how it started?
Yeah. So, okay, here's what happened. They're at K Michelle, another cast member, another great cast member's listening party. She's again trying to break into the industry. You know, she's been unfortunately labeled as difficult, which we know, unfortunately, for Black women is a death sentence. So she, is really trying to get back together. It's her listening party. Stevie J is inebriated, shows up to Mimi and says, hey, ma, give me a kiss, ma. So it's obviously very funny. So Erica starts repeating it like as a joke to Mimi to say, did this guy really just say this to you? Like, what's going on? And Mimi's like, actually, that's my boyfriend. Like, we're together, like, blah, blah, blah. Stevie J overhears this. And he's, again, very drunk. So he goes up to Erica and says, who are you, B-word? Like, who do you think that you can say this to me? And calls their B-word multiple times, calls them all S-words. Anyway, just very awful, awful things. And Erica obviously takes that back to her man, Lil Scrappy. And Lil Scrappy's iconic line, I'll put them paws on him. He said, because he's like, howdy, I can disrespect her. Like, I will be cheating on her with Shay, but no one else can, you know, disrespect my baby mom. So as Scrappy says, I'm going to be politically hood correct when I speak to him. And hopefully he doesn't touch me. Hopefully he doesn't say anything. But how dare he call you the B word, especially when he doesn't know you. And you have no connection, you know, but I'm going to stand up for you. That's that conflict.
You really shouldn't be throwing around the B word unless you know the person.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Then it's fine.
That's a different story. That's a different story.
Yeah, and Atlanta's too small for this group of people, right? So it's going to get back, especially because this Stevie J and Lil Scrappy are both huge names in Atlanta. These interactions between their baby mothers and girlfriends and stuff like that, it's not going to go unnoticed. It's also being filmed. So this is going to get back to them eventually. But like Mama D says, there's no disrespect out here in these streets. She's not going for it, and neither is her son. And so he's got to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Check him.
Yeah. Chevelle, do you think that it could be good for the, you know, RHAP brand if my wife was like feuding with like other like bigger podcasters, like notable podcasters, if like she was like beefing with people that have like huge podcasts?
So you agree Nicole should get in a boxing match with Mira? No. I'm glad we agree on it. Yeah. I'll book it. I'll send her an email. Don't worry. Yeah. No, I think it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
It couldn't hurt. It could not hurt. Is there a Mrs. Rogan? you know, have Nicole pull up on her, throw a drink in her face.
Yeah, I don't know about a Mrs. Rogan. Yeah.
Yeah, she probably, Mrs. Rogan probably can fight.
Like they're into like MMA. Fight. I don't know.
Yeah. But is Nicole not into MMA?
Not yet.
Right.
Like, Mari and Matt could give Nicole some tips. Don't worry. We got her covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to go back to Lil Scrappy and Mama D, there's a moment when they're talking about Shay and Mama D wants to know, hey, have you hit that yet? And I really admired this from Lil Scrappy. Like, you know, I think you went too far, Mom.
I'm a gentleman, yeah, is what he says. I just could never disrespect a woman like that to talk about, you know, to kiss and tell or cheat on my baby mama girlfriend on camera. I'm just not cut like that. Yeah. I'm built different.
Although he did just get done telling Mama Literally. D that, hey, look, this is my own place. I just got my own place. I could have naked chicks around here all I want.
And Mama D was very supportive.
She's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the very much like, you do you. You're so amazing. You're just the perfect person I ever seen. Like that. That's her vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to say this part. Erica, because she's been given all this, you know, constructive feedback that she is not, you know, as affectionate as she should be, sets up a whole thing for him last episode where she's like dressed up really nice, like she has lingerie on, you know, it's a whole little mood setting to get, you know, to show him like, hey, I really care for you, you know, like very Destiny's Child cater to you moment. And yeah, so is it Beyonce? Not this.
It's both.
Yeah.
You know,
anyway,
yeah, both
very cater to you moment. And you know, she's like, I'm doing all of this, like, da da da, for you. And then she's like, we are working on each other, correct? You are not working on other people, us, correct? And Scrappy actually says yes. So this is the way he really being trifling. Yeah.
Well, is he working or is it only pleasure?
Oh,
yes. Is he working or is he being worked?
Mm-hmm.
You decide. Yeah.
So. Were you silenced?
Okay. We then get to see a lot of the Jocelyn and Stevie dynamic play out in this episode.
Yeah, this is pretty sad.
This was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jocelyn, like I said, she's like 25 years old and she's in this, you know, this partnership with this very powerful man in Atlanta. She obviously cares about him very deeply. And she's, I think a part of her is afraid that even if she like cuts several ties with him emotionally and like in a relationship wise, then she's never going to have her big break. She's never going to have her dream of being the Puerto Rican princess. So she's kind of like in a catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he's not like, I have to stay with him. I love him. He's also horrible, but I can't really leave because if I manage to separate those things, I still have to worry about my career. And that leads her to having to go to the abortion clinic because he drops her off there. He does not stay there with her. He drops her off there and goes about his day. And then to repay him, she ends up, you know, making him breakfast later on. Yep. He made breakfast for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what he did for her. He made a breakfast and he dropped her off at the clinic so she could get rid of the baby. Sad mm-hmm. day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, was that a point of contention of the decision to have the abortion, or was that something that they both agreed on?
Yeah, you actually hear her talk about it that, like, I don't know that she ever wanted to, like, in mm-hmm. that moment, have a child with him. I think because Jocelyn, this is why I think we like Jocelyn a little better than Mimi, because she's a realist. She's like, I know how Stevie is. I know this is who he is. I know, you know, he's like going to do me dirty or like, do you know, and I'm okay. I'm putting up with this for now because I want to get ahead. Like, she very much says this and believes it.
Yeah.
So I think that's why in the moment, she also, I don't think, wanted to be tied down to this man.
Mm-hmm.
But fun fact, in a few episodes, they do now have a baby together and they have a child together now. Okay. So it does happen later.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she gets her own birthing special, actually.
She does. Oh. She does. I cannot. Yes. I cannot.
I'm done, Stevie. I'm done. I can't.
I cannot. I cannot. Yes, if you haven't seen it, please, please, I can send you the clips. Don't worry.
Yeah. Lots of warnings with that one.
It's a sad affair, Rob. Honestly, yes. Like Sasha said, this is why you root for Jocelyn, because she is self-aware. Like, she seems like she has a little conflated, you know, attitude about herself. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's confidence. But when it comes to Stevie, she's one of the few people who can see through him. She just can't get out of it, you know?
Yes.
Like, whereas Mimi has convinced herself that the things he's telling her is true, Jocelyn's like, you lying, but still come over, you know? Mm-hmm. Still come hang out. I made his breakfast. Basically. Yeah.
Now, is Mimi in the hip hop game, or is she just like basically attached to it by way of that she has children with Stevie?
Yeah, she's the love in the love and hip hop mm-hmm. for sure. Where she also, I think, I've seen the whole season, but at some point, yeah, signs a contract with him to get like, you know, percentages of his sales. So they're very much in a business situation where she's like, I get half of everything. Like, you're signing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was episode 2, I believe. She goes to, because Jocelyn keeps appearing and people keep mm-hmm. telling Mimi, like Sasha was saying, people keep approaching Mimi in the club and saying, hey, Jocelyn is his girlfriend. And she's like, no, that's her manager. And they're like, no, that's her man. And she's like, Udger. And they're like, man, mm-hmm. Udger. And so to fix that, she says, I can't be with him all the time, but I can get in his business when it comes to the business side. And so she has him write up she has her lawyer write up a contract and she presents him with, she wants 20% of whatever he does. And that's higher than managers get, because managers typically get 10%. And Stevie is not pleased, but he seems to deal with it in the real time. He just is very visibly unhappy with this arrangement.
Mm-hmm. That's another point of contention also for Jocelyn, because Mimi was like, oh, you think you're something? I get 20% of everything you make. So that really sets Jocelyn off also on Stevie. And again, like I said, she like beats him at therapy. And it's a very funny moment.
He deserves it.
100%.
Yeah.
And Mimi's just sitting while this whole fight is like happening right beside her, because it's on a therapist couch with the security. So mm-hmm. again, worth watching the therapy episodes.
Yeah. Right. And make no mistake, Sasha and I, we don't condone domestic violence, but in a situation like this, it happened on television and we might have laughed.
Yes. Thank you, Chappelle. Yes. Don't come for us.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, look, it was an uncomfortable reaction to something that happened that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, please don't hit your spouses.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So, do we want to just stick with Stevie? Like, do we want to, I know there's some, a couple other things, other people that are showing up, but they're not really part of the A or B story here.
Yeah. I think we can skip Erica and her mom. They seem mm-hmm. like her mom seems like a lovely lady, honestly. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly Erica like having to like juggle the idea that like, oh, you know, like me and Scrappy, now that we don't live together, our relationship will be even better, because that's what people mm-hmm. who are going to get married do. They separate themselves. So that's Erica's kind of storyline. You get Rashida and Kirk. We didn't talk about Rashida that much when in the beginning, but Rashida is a recording artist in her own right. She has basically decided to go independent and let her husband Kirk be her manager and kind of help her, you know, with the music thing. And it is a point of contention as well, because she, like, her business and pleasure, all that stuff is tied together. And, you know, they have a child together. Kirk has four other kids through other relationships.
Four, I believe. Four? Yeah, because now he has the fifth one with another waitress. Yes. Four.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of drama there. But yeah, the biggest drama definitely comes from Stevie and the Mimi and Jocelyn stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's Kay Michelle, who, again, we saw at the start. She's a great one line generator. Like, the, again, another iconic moment. She's shaking her and a woman named Carly Red, who wasn't in this episode, but is kind of the pot stirrer and who actually brought like Jocelyn's situation to Mimi first. So Carly wasn't here, but she's also, and she's dating Benzino currently in this iteration of season one. So that's another like person that didn't show up, but is part of like the supporting cast.
Yeah.
Okay. We see Stevie now talking with Mimi. Mimi says that Stevie's blowing up her phone. We just saw Stevie walk away from Jocelyn's apartment, or he's going to walk up to Mimi's house now. but we just saw the whole thing that just happened, where Jocelyn is just recovering from having the abortion, and so he's back with Mimi, and, you know, he's just ready to move on from you know, any unpleasantness.
Yeah. He's like, why do you have to keep bringing stuff up? Like, why? Okay, sure. I cheated on you. Also, maybe got a woman pregnant. But have you thought of the good stuff that I've been doing? I'm a musician. You love me. We have a child. What about I took her to the clinic? Like, yeah. There's no baby. Why are you so upset? We're good.
Isn't
now.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Right.
No, you're not like, supposed to get someone pregnant. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And so she's just, Mimi says, this is one of the moments, right? Where Mimi's like, I'm fed up. I'm never dealing with this ever again. Da 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 da. Narrator says she definitely deals with this again, you know? So it's one of those moments. This probably happens probably 18 times throughout this season alone.
Yeah. Sasha, I was really amazed that Stevie just, in this big confrontation, he's just like very like cold about the whole thing. It's like, well, what do you want? What are we doing moving forward?
Yeah, that's like very much why all these people get so frustrated by him. And that's why he's getting like, unfortunately, hit a lot. Because, yeah, he has this kind of like narcissistic, like, you know, God complex. And this is who he believes he is. And, you know, if you don't agree with me, you're not on the same boat. You can leave. I'm still getting my money. I'm still winning. So goodbye. That's why he doesn't care. He's very disassociated.
It's just one of those things. Like, he's not going to dwell on the past. Look, we've been hard on Stevie J because he deserves it. But he's not going to dwell on the past. He's like, look, ma'am, I'm standing in front of you. I'm just a guy standing in front of a girl who just cheated on her and got someone else pregnant. You know, like, what do you want? What can I do to make you stop yelling and cursing at me? Because Mimi curses like a sailor. She goes in on him. And it's very fun to watch. I was howling while we were watching the show.
Oh my God. It was so funny. It's just like worth it because she definitely goes in on people. Like that's her like kind of role that she plays.
So Stevie is going to get picked up by Benzino, who seems to be the voice of reason.
I'm just confused as to like Stevie Ubers to Mimi's house.
Did they have an Uber in 2012?
I don't, I mean, took a cab.
Production took him there, I'm sure.
I mean, but like, where's your car? And then also, why can't you have just driven there? Like, you're filthy rich. You don't have a driver. If you do have a driver, why is it Benzino?
He's probably drunk.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's probably drunk.
No, that's actually probably fine. He called his designated driver to come pick him up, Benzino.
Yeah.
And Benzino, like, showed right up. And honestly, Benzino becomes kind of a villain as well. But in this episode, he is like the voice of reason. He's telling Stevie J, look, can you understand why she's upset with you? Like, you do realize you screwed this up. And she's like, what? Me?
Yeah.
No, what did I do? He's like, you cheated on her. And
you got your artist pregnant. Do you understand what
you did?
Is that
bad?
Yeah. And yeah, Stevie says, I love her to death. Like, ain't that enough? Like, what do y'all want from me? And I kind of relate to that.
Absolutely not.
Why isn't love enough?
Love don't pay the bills and love don't cash the check. Yeah. That's why.
All right. So exactly. Benzino tells Stevie he needs to keep it in his pants.
And Stevie does not listen.
Stevie, you could tell it was like error 404, code not found. Like, okay. That was Stevie.
I don't know. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. Yeah. I don't think it's a monogamy issue. It's just that she curses too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut back to Lil Scrappy and his best friend Shay is over.
We get to meet Bucky just for the first time.
Hanging out.
Yes.
Hanging out at the pool in heels.
Yes, we have to know what you feel about this, Chappelle.
They just seem like very courageous women that would go to the pool in heels, you know, like they're like exhibitionists, maybe. I don't know. It just feels like something that you would be like, you could fall, right? You slip and fall in the water. It's something about a woman in heels at the pool that just kind of make you look twice and say, huh, look at her. Look at what she's doing there. That's my opinion.
I don't think she was ever planning on going in the water.
No. She has him rub sunscreen on her butt, well, her back and her legs, so that they can then go inside. So yeah, never once got in the water. And didn't see much sun either.
Yeah, it was cloudy.
Yeah, I don't know. This seemed like that this was maybe a come on to me because You know, I understand put some sunscreen on my back, but put some sunscreen on my legs. Like, you could reach your legs. Like, you don't need help putting sunscreen on your legs.
She's auditioning to be the queen of the South, mm-hmm. right? So, like, when you are the queen of the South, you don't put on your own sunscreen. So yeah. This way, you got a prince to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So she's auditioning.
You know, Chappelle, you know what I do is I have, like, one of those, like, aerosol things. So I get like, everything, and I don't miss a spot.
Okay. Yeah. You should just have Nicole just rub it on your back.
I don't even need it. I'm self-sufficient.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. You're missing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next time, put your heels on, go to the pool, have Nicole lotion you up, mm-hmm. see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. And then go back to the house.
Yeah,
and
then go back inside. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And that's going to be it for Shay here.
Well, Shay's thing is that she does listen to Scrappy and his complaints about, because he does tell her about, like, the Stevie J thing, because they're friends, right? So he's telling his friend, like, hey, this guy disrespected my baby mama. What should I do? And Shay's like, you got to handle your business. Do what you're going to do. So this is him just getting more. He's getting more, like, feedback that I should definitely say something out of respect, out of the person that a person who intends to spend their life with me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the dance studio, Stevie is going to check in with Jocelyn, who's back up on her feet and practicing her routine.
Oh my God. I've never heard that song, but that is kind of the stock almost music that they play for Jocelyn every time. Mm-hmm. So I really need to go. I just realized I should go and check out her song, give her a play, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Jocelyn Hernandez song, Sasha?
I did, like I said, I know this okay. one. This one, look, what is it? Yo, whatever. I don't speak Spanish. Why am I?
I prefer Stingy with My Cootie Cat.
Oh yes,
yeah.
What's that again, Chappelle?
Stingy with My Cootie Cat.
Stingy with My Cootie Cat.
With My Cootie Cat, a Jocelyn Hernandez original.
My favorite is Mariah Lynn's "I Was a Hoe."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, once upon a time, not long ago, I was a hoe. And I'm admitting
I won't take it back.
Because I did that shit. Hey!
Mariah Lynn is on Love and Hip Hop New York. Mm-hmm. Again, I think New York has, like, better musicians, Cardi B, but yes. Atlanta has the better cast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rob, have you heard any of these songs?
Not familiar with, I've been stingy with my cootie cat.
What about Once Upon a Time, Not Long Ago, I Was a Hoe?
That I have not, I mean, I have not heard it yet.
Oh my gosh. I will be
Chappelle's admitting it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Yeah. Because I did that shit.
I'll save it for patron karaoke.
Oh, please, yes. You. Please. Mm-hmm.
We needed a duet. And I know the lyrics.
We got it.
There you go, everyone. You're welcome.
Yeah. So the more we're talking about it, the Stevie and Jocelyn relationship is interesting, because it's not just a, you know, dating relationship, but she's also his protege.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, the way she sees it is she's next up. And then all these other women, all this other drama is really just slowing me down from being the Puerto Rican princess that I deserve to be. And if I got to deal with this man and his crap, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to, and I will get something out of it as well. I'm going to get, you know, the studio time, and I'm going to, you know, be able to move up in my career. And you know what? She doesn't think he's bad looking. So if she wants to sleep with him, she will. Jocelyn is very clear on she's here for business, and if pleasure is involved, she'll take it too, but she mm-hmm. is not to be trifled with, you know? So if she had to go to the clinic one day, she's bouncing back. She's back to her choreography. She is back about her business.
Yeah. He said to her, you're ready to compete on a high level right now.
What is this? Like, he thinks he's talking to Lolo Jones. Like, mm-hmm. is she going to, like, war? He literally says war. But, like, is she going to the Olympics? Like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
He's just gaslighting her. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she wants to win.
Yes. Also, fun fact, another weird editing thing. But they, at the reunion, Mona Scott is like, why are you so obsessed with wiping sweat off of her nose? Like, that's weird. And they actually make a whole compilation of Stevie wiping sweat off of Jocelyn's nose.
She might have a sweaty nose.
she tells him, though, I can wipe my own sweat. Stop it.
Like,
she says it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, she was working out. She was dancing. People sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they're inside the studio. And then eventually we're going to see a visitor, right?
Yeah. Scrappy and Erica pull up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the confrontation. So if you're watching Cheaters, this is the moment Joey Greco has been leading up to. This is like the buildup.
If you'd like to know where Stevie is right now, our camera crews have identified he's at the studio with Jocelyn.
Right. Exactly.
The new Cheaters host, Peter Guns, was actually
The new host of Cheaters is named Peter?
Yeah, Peter Guns. Who was on Love and Hip Hop New York.
Yeah.
And very much a cheater.
Very much the biggest. He was the Stevie J in New York, 100%. With Tahiri and Amina. Yeah.
And he is part of the reason why Cardi B has such a meteoric rise of fame.
Yes.
Not that he did anything for her, but some of the arguments that those two individuals had were iconic. Cardi B looks at him at a reunion special and says, "These are smart, beautiful women, and you are playing them like they dumb. You don't pay their bills. These women need to get what they can from you and move on." And he's like, "I don't even know you." And she's like, "You know who the hell I am." Like, Cardi B plays him on TV. Wow. It's so good. Yeah. And Peter Guns goes on to host Cheaters, which they should just call it Peters because it's all about the things that he's good at.
You know? He's literally the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. He smokes a cigar and he looks like he's a Jets fan.
Yes. Peter Guns.
Yeah.
Peter Guns.
Okay.
Peter Guns and Joe Budden. We love them.
Yes,
Joe Budden.
We don't have to get into Joe
Budden. No, please, let's move on. Sorry.
Yeah.
The president?
No. That's Joe Biden, Rob. Joe Biden. Look, Joe Budden could be the president. Joe Biden could never make Puppet Up.
Like, yes. Yes. Correct. Very much.
Okay.
Pump it up.
Please. Everyone, watch everything.
Well, we gotta talk about this confrontation.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So can Chappelle, can you talk us through this? Give us the play-by-play.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, actually. Scrappy and Erica roll up on Stevie J in the studio because Scrappy wants to put him in line for calling her the B word. So they're hanging out outside. Scrappy and Jocelyn come outside, and Scrappy, being that he's an OG in the game, he already knows what's up. He sees this girl that he's disrespected.
Yeah.
He remembers that he did it, you know, and I'm sure him and Jocelyn have recapped that fight over and over again as well. So he comes out, he sees her, and immediately he sees Scrappy. So he makes a beeline directly toward Erica, and he says, "You know what? I am so sorry. I was really, really drunk, and if I called you the B word, I did not mean to." Erica, meanwhile, wants all the smoke.
Yeah.
She's standing out on the edge of the car going, "I'm the bitch! It's me! What's up?" And so he is like, "Well, I can't ignore it. I got to confront it." And he does.
Yeah. And, you know, Stevie, I think that very much knows, okay, all right, this guy is coming at me hot. Like, let me just hat in hand, mea culpa, my bad. you know, sorry about that. Again, misunderstanding. But there is a rogue element here that nobody took into account. And that's Jocelyn.
The Puerto Rican princess. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she believes that Erica has slept with her man, Stevie J.
Obviously. That she has, because otherwise, why would she be coming to the studio to call out Stevie J with Scrappy? There's no other logical explanation. She must have also slept with Stevie.
I love the way Jocelyn approaches it, though. She's like, they're arguing, and she kind of cuts in like, hold on, real quick. Did you sleep with him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just need to know, because you acting like you slept with him. So did you? Because, and they're like, "Ma'am, what the hell are you talking about?
Who are you? Who? Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Irrelevant.
Why are you here? Why?" You know, so Jocelyn, she does kind of incite the violence here a little bit. I will say this. I think Scrappy came with a plan on what he wanted to do anyway. I don't think there was ever a point where like Stevie was going to be able to apologize and walk away. Like, he tried it. And Scrappy's like, hold on. Do you know who I am? Did you know this was my baby mama? Blah, blah, blah. Like, so Scrappy's trying to take it there a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you got Jocelyn, who also is very much like, let's go there then. It's probably important to point out that Stevie J probably has at least 12 years of age on Lil Scrappy. So Lil Scrappy at this time is like 28 and like ready to go. And Stevie J is like, I'm about 40. So if you could just not, like,
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't put the pause on me, man. Not here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But also another behind the scenes moment. This actually, because this fight was such a big deal, turns out Scrappy was actually in a confessional, like telling the producers, like, hey, here's what happened, you know, doing his confessional about it. And then they kept giving him alcohol and kept giving him some more alcohol and then some more alcohol, and then said, hey, we actually know where Stevie J's is tonight. Do you maybe want to go there? Maybe, you know, maybe we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you want to go? So yeah. That's actually, Scrappy was very inebriated.
Yeah, that yeah. makes sense, because that it really feels like that nobody on the production seems like that they were caught off guard by this, because Chappelle, are there like 42 different people in like a black shirt and black pants there to break up the fight?
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. On like a show like, I don't know, like Jerry Springer, yeah. right? You got Steve Wilkos is like the guy, and Steve can stop you from fighting, and that's it. But it's Jerry Springer, so we don't really think these fights are going to get too far. We mm-hmm. don't need a whole bunch of armed guards. This fight has people out the wazoo. It's like a lumberjack match. People are just standing around waiting to jump in and break this up, because they know it's about to go down. And even though Stevie is trying to be the cooler head that prevails and like to, you know, like, hey, I apologize, let's move on, Scrappy's drunk, and they got him drunk, and then they drove over there with the whole crew, camera crew, bodyguards, all kinds of stuff. They want this to happen so that they can break it up. Yeah. It'd be great TV.
Sasha, are yep. there a lot of fights on Love & Hip Hop?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There is a fight like every moment almost, right? Like, fight could be like Mimi cursing Stevie out, or Jocelyn cursing Stevie out, to like an actual like drink thrown, to then an mm-hmm. actual brawl. So any one of those three will happen all the time. And like I said, to me, it was normal, because Love & Hip Hop was like my major show. So I was like, oh yeah, this happens all the time. And then I watch other reality shows and I was like, oh, this does not happen all the time. Got it.
Yeah. It's interesting, because I feel like that on the levels of human emotions, I feel like that the scale is really ultimately like on the one hand, you have fighting, and then on the other end of the spectrum is probably intercourse. I think that that's really the spectrum of human relationship, and I think that those are the two things that ultimately happen on this show, and I think that one ultimately leads to the other often.
Yes, 100% correct. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't spot the lie there. I mean, that's what it is, you know, mm-hmm. that we have some very happy moments that are normally tied to intercourse.
Like, where are you right now with this person on a scale of fist fighting to intercourse? Like, that's really
the
scale of human emotion.
Scale.
Yeah.
Right. It's both. There's like a part in the middle where you can like, it's like a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And they're just always hanging out in the little tumultuous area where they can have sex or they can fight.
That's Jocelyn and Stevie J. Like,
yeah.
we're either having sex or we're fighting or both. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Like a scale of 0 to 100.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, these are like not like usually we're used to like reality TV cast, but like these people like actually fight. This is not, you know, yeah. like some like silly people that showed up. Like, these are actual like people that will fight, that will like get into it. Like, they're Atlanta rappers. Like, this isn't something small. So I want to also make that clear. Like, these people will do it. Scrappy actually talks a lot about how he's on probation and hopes that his probation officer doesn't watch this season back.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he does violate his probation and go to jail at some yes. point during the filming of the show anyway. So
there's another Scrappy that goes to jail also that shows up later. But his mom is like a legit, like, I don't know what the right word is. So I don't want to say the wrong thing. Piss off anyone. But yeah, there's another Scrappy that shows up, and they're a crime family, I will say.
Wait, so there's another Scrappy that has another mom?
Yes. And Mama D and this Karen King are friends. Yes.
The other Scrappy's mom's name is Karen King.
Yes.
And she happens to have a criminal
Scrap
record.
De Leon. Yes.
Yeah, Scrap okay. De Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You keep it up, Rob?
Scrap De Leon. Yes.
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 Like the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Famously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does pop up, and I think they end up on, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, Sasha?
No, they're in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I thought he was with, Moniece, yeah.
Who is she from Hollywood? Yeah, she's from Hollywood and then comes over to Atlanta actually when he's out on a conjugal visit from his halfway house.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We love a love story.
This is sick that I know this off the top of my head, but here I am.
Yeah.
No. We need more.
Yeah. This makes up for my 2 points on Twitch, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, you are an encyclopedia of Love & Hip Hop.
This week in Love & Hip Hop history.
Yes. Get Jordan Kalish on it.
Oh
yes.
My God. I'll win one thing at least.
Okay. There's a bunch of women are together to sort of like have the retelling of the story.
Yes. The meeting of the minds.
Yes.
So you got Carly Red. I guess she calls the meeting because Carly Red is the messy one. At least she gets painted like that. And then she kind of just starts owning it. The first episode, she's the one who reveals, I think Sasha said this earlier, but she's the one who reveals to Mimi that Jocelyn and Stevie J are dating. But she doesn't do it in a malicious way. She legit meets Stevie J and Jocelyn and thinks, look at this power couple. This Jocelyn girl is so amazing. She's holding it down for this guy. She's ride or die. Like, I have to tell my friend Mimi about her. And so she goes and she's like, Mimi, this girl Jocelyn is amazing. Like, you would love her if you met her. And Mimi's like, oh, I'm familiar with her. She's like, yeah, her and her boyfriend, Stevie J. Like, I'm sorry, what? Her man. Manager. Mm-hmm. Her man, Stevie J. So then that comes to a head. Stevie J, of course, denies everything. Jocelyn denies everything. And then it comes out that, of course, Carly Red is telling the truth. But from that moment on, she is like almost marked as a pot stirrer. And this is another moment of her stirring the pot. Because she's like, look, y'all, this thing happened and we need to talk about it. So you got K. Michelle, Mimi and Carly Red all sitting around the table talking about the altercation. And that's when baby mama Erica walks in and gives her accounts of the story.
Okay.
Yeah. And on Real Housewives of Atlanta, Candy, who was on, you know, we know Candy from Big Brother 2, or Celebrity Big Brother, I mean. Candy is known as
Big Brother 2,
Yes, thank you. Candy is known as KMZ, and that's like very much Carly Red here. Like, she is KMZ. Like, she is the person that like will start the drama, and she'll be like, and she always has receipts, which is why we love her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Receipts.
So, yeah, we had like a reset of the whole story about who's mad at who. And Erica is telling the story about how Jocelyn thought that Erica was sleeping with Stevie J. And Mimi is mad that, oh, Jocelyn is ready to fight for Stevie. She's acting like that she's his girlfriend and ready to fight you. Because she's mad that she thought you were sleeping with Stevie?
Yeah. Mimi, honestly, at this point, Mimi is just tired of hearing Jocelyn's name.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere she goes, someone comes up to her and says, hey, have you heard about Jocelyn and Stevie? Did you hear about this thing Jocelyn did? Did you hear about this thing Jocelyn and Stevie did? And these are her friends. Like, she knows Erica. And Erica is like, hey, this crazy girl, Jocelyn. And Mimi's like, again? Again? Like, why is she still coming up? She's tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Jocelyn is a hoe that don't know nothing about nothing. Oh, no, that's what Erica says. And that's because Jocelyn is basically starting a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And now she wants to pull up on Jocelyn and explain to her why what she did was wrong.
They end up meeting and it was very boring, I will say. It doesn't amount to what you would think it would, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem is Jocelyn is about that action. And a lot of these women are not. Erica's not about that action. She's the boring baby mama. Mimi is not about that action. She likes to talk a big game. But Jocelyn is 25 years old. And she's ready to fight these old women from her point of view. That's what she tells them. She says, Carly Rae, you old. And she's ready to fight them.
Yeah.
I think probably if you had to rank them on levels of who would fight somebody else on this cast, you probably got Jocelyn at number one, K. Michelle and, and Rashida are probably tied for number two and three or whatever. And then at the bottom somewhere you have Mimi and Erica. But they're not really... Yeah, they're normal.
That's what Stevie sees in Jocelyn. He says she wants to win. She's got the eye of the tiger. She's ready to fight. She's ready to go.
Ride or die, baby. We love it.
She's here. She's all about that heat.
She is. Mm-hmm. And the next day, to celebrate their battle, she cooks him breakfast.
She makes him breakfast this time. But she wants to know, did you sleep with that woman, Erica? And he says, no. He categorically denies it. He does not, but she says that, you know, Stevie, Sasha, did you want to give this quote?
Yeah, he says, I trust you, but I don't trust that.
You know, does he categorically deny it? Or does he say like, what? Sleep with her?
Me? I didn't.
What? Why do you think that? She's like, no, did you do it? He's like, but why are you asking me this? Who sent you? Why do you feel this way? And she's like, no, but if you could just answer the question, please. And he's like, I mean, I didn't answer the question.
He said, I don't think I did.
And she says, in fairness, you know, Stevie smashes so many girls. He might have forgot about a couple.
He might have. She thinks Erica's forgettable. Maybe she didn't make that impact. This is the kind of foolishness we go on to watch for 9 seasons, Rob.
Mm-hmm. We love it. We love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is a interesting excuse of, did you sleep with her? No. And then later on, I forgot. I actually did.
He did not say he slept with her. He said, I don't recall. That's not an admission of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, if it happened, I would be just as shocked as you were. But also, you wouldn't be that shocked and neither would I.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he did not, but...
he doesn't remember. He might have.
He might have. Maybe she didn't, but he might have. I don't know. Very weird.
Why choose this moment to not just say no? Like, you've been lying this whole season. Why is this the moment where you're like, maybe? Like, why are you being coy? Like, what was that?
He may not remember.
I mean,
he knows he can't get trouble about this with this one, because this one might have happened before Jocelyn. So he's like, you know, like, I'm going to lie about Mimi and whoever else is in the mix. Someone that Benzino ends up dating later anyway, but not right now. I can't get in trouble for this. So you know what? I don't care. I go.
Yep.
There you go. That's Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Yes, it is.
Season 1, episode 4.
Yes.
I feel like I learned so much today.
what did you learn?
I feel like I learned, a ton about the show, but I feel like I also learned a lot about the human condition.
Do you feel like you're a psychologist now?
No, I don't feel like I'm a psychologist, but I definitely feel like okay, well, there's like some interesting social dynamics going on here on this show.
Oh, sociologist, maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. True. That's why reality TV is so great. And Love and Hip Hop.
That's how I learn about the world.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think I ended up here, Rob, talking to you? I mean, obviously, I've done nothing but watch reality TV. And it worked. I am a person. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a sociological experiment for sure. But also, you get to watch the lives of, you know, some iconic Black people. You know, there's not a lot of reality shows that are like that you get 9 seasons of that are like starring Black people in the majority. You do have one iteration of the Housewives, which is Atlanta, right? Which is a majority
and
Black
Potomac,
women.
I think, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And Potomac, I think, has some Black women. I don't know how many. But, you know, this is like a Black reality show. Mm-hmm. And we don't get a lot of those that last very long. There's a lot of them that get like one-offs. You get to follow Chili around from TLC while she tries to find a man, you know, like things of that nature. But this is a long-running franchise, and I'm very proud of it for maintaining its income and being able to stay in, you know, in this longevity. It does bother me sometimes that, you know, the only time we can manage to keep something on the air like this is when we're fighting all the time and making each other look bad. But for these people, they've opened their lives to us and given us a window into their world, and we will enjoy watching them as long as we can.
Yes. And is the show just as popular now, Sasha, as it was in the beginning, or has it waned in popularity?
I think it ebbs and flows. Like, it really is dependent on the cast, where New York, I feel like, for me personally, has like fell off. Like, I don't know that I seek Love and Hip Hop New York out versus like, actually, Hollywood has gotten a lot of big names. They have Ray J, and then Safari, who is Nicki Minaj's ex-boyfriend. So they had a bunch of like big names come in out in Hollywood, and Miami as well has Trina and Trick Daddy, which are like pretty famous rappers. So they like actually end up getting really big names. So it's more fun watching them, I will say. But Atlanta, again, the cast has always been pretty great. Even now with like the new supporting artists, I don't know, the new supporting cast, like it's still pretty silly. Like Rashida calls them popcorn hoes because they pop up everywhere. So they've always been amazing. Like, and you know, I just live for the one-liners, I think. That's why it's worth watching for me.
Yeah, and I'd agree. Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, I think, has the strongest cast based off of just their personalities alone. I think a lot of these are driven by star power. You know, like Sasha was saying, Love and Hip Hop New York probably has the best artists that were like up and coming that actually made it to be something. And then you have Love and Hip Hop Hollywood that has a bunch of established artists that we already know. Ray J, Lil Fizz, Omarion, Soulja Boy. From the RTP Rewind.
Fetty Wap was on Hollywood as well. I forgot about
King
him.
Fetty Wap. King Fetty Wap. Trap King himself. K. Michelle ends up going over there. Keisha Cole. Like, these are these are big artists. And so I think Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, the thing about it is that they became famous almost just off of their fame, like their fame from the show alone. You know, a lot of them already had careers, but they are now in the public eye because of the show. And I think that's very commendable for them. And I'm happy for them.
All right. Well, this was incredible. Sasha, anything else on Love and Hip Hop?
No, that's it. I hope that it comes back so we can talk about it more.
Okay. Sasha, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04 to find out more, or on YouTube at Silent Podcast, where we do a few other reality TV shows.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sasha, always great to get the podcast with you. And then, Chappelle, what's coming up for you this week?
Do I have something else this week? No. So I think this is the end of me for the week, but I think there'll be a lot more of me next week. So I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we have.
Yeah. Well, you and I are going to talk about the 20th best season of Survivor, Survivor of the Australian Outback.
Yes. Yes, we are. And I'm very excited for that. I was going to let you reveal it. I didn't want to spoil the surprise. No, I feel like this might. We might drop this afterwards. So it's all good there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be talking Survivor for the first time in a while since I think, not since I talked to Sasha last, but I think
talked about Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. We got you, I think, three times early on. We talked about the, I think, what was the Edge of Extinction, Thailand, and Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And then it's been a minute since we had you on the countdown.
Yeah, you know, I thought I'd knock out all the good seasons for you, you know, get them out the way and then let everybody else take the better seasons, maybe the worst season, you know, whatever. But no, so I'm happy to come back and talk about that with you every week, talking about The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead currently with Jessica Lease and whatever combination of Josh Wigler and or AJ Mass that we get for the week. It'll be very fun to find out. I find out when you find out. This week on... I want to say next week, whenever, I'm going to be on Post Show Recaps, recapping one of the episodes of the final season of Pose with Grace the Leader and Brooklyn Zedd. And so that is going to be very fun for me as well.
Can we talk about what's coming up next week? Is that official yet? For the Rewind?
Yeah. So I think next week for the Rewind, I think we have Mari and Taryn coming.
Yes.
And they will be taking me through Solitary.
Yeah. Because next week I'm going to be in the process of beginning my move. So I'm going to be off of the podcast for a couple of weeks. I think maybe 2 weeks as my family and I, we are moving across the country, as many of the listeners know. And so while we are in the process of packing and getting out of this house, we are going to be having a lot of the different hosts filling in for me. So Taryn is going to be filling in for me here on a couple of the Survivor podcasts and the RHAP Rewind with Chappelle and Mari next week. And it is going to be, as Sam in the chat is telling us, it's episode 52?
No, season 2, episode 1.
Oh, right. Sorry, I don't have glasses on.
Yeah, it's fine. I have mine on. So season 2, episode 1, I am going to be, going through a reality TV show without Rob for the first time. It's going to be a sad day, but Taryn and Mari are great, and it's going to be a good time regardless.
Okay. So be on the lookout for that. Be sure to check out our countdown on the top 40 of Survivor Africa, the 21st best season of all time. I also have a Talking with T-Bird dropping for you with Clarence Black, who is always a wild card to talk to on the podcast. So be on the lookout for that and everything else going on at robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.